Anyway, well, we are going to be in Romans chapter 8 this morning, Romans chapter 8. I want to welcome all those who will join us on Facebook after this is posted. We'll be in Romans chapter 8 this morning. And John, I'm going to need you to turn my mic up. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 8, as we look at the purpose and progress of our salvation. It's been a while, but I've eagerly desired to share this message with you. You say, wait a minute, you just preached last week, but this message has been on my heart for quite some time. There's a lot of confusion around this area in the Christian church or in the church in general, and I want to just kind of clear it up. And I know I'm going to this morning because, you know, I am the all. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm not at all that way. But I just want to see what the scriptures say. We want to hold as fast to the scriptures as we can, and so that's where our authority comes. That's where it is, and we want to thank the Lord for giving us scripture that helps our understanding. The Holy Spirit takes His word and brings it and gives it us understanding in our heart. One of the biggest issues I think that people wrestle with in Christianity, or they struggle with, is eternal security. Am I saved, and am I going to stay saved? Am I going to know? How do I know if I'm truly saved? Is it even possible to know? Is it possible to lose our salvation? And the debate over eternal security has really been going on since really the beginning of the church, I think. And so, however, though, as we look at Scripture, as we look at what the Bible says, that debate should be over with, in my mind. And I think the Bible clearly answers that question. And we're going to look at some of that today as Paul continues in writing his letter to the church in Rome, the believers in Rome. And many of you, maybe if you've been following this series along, realize that we've kind of slowed down through chapter 8 because there's so much good, solid doctrine and things that kind of build on each other. It's kind of like math. You can't do calculus if you don't know how to add. You know, it's kind of like that. And that's where he kind of builds on with there's no condemnation. He goes on from there. And I just want to read the verse. We're going to cover two verses today. And you say, wow, that's a 100% increase from last week. As last week we covered only one. And so next week I guarantee you we'll cover more than three, or at least three, and maybe more, but be more than two. So anyway, as we look at this, I want to read really verse 28, 29, and 30. We're going to be focusing on 29 and 30 this morning of Romans chapter 8. But we'll start in verse 28. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. And so these are obviously scriptures that everybody agrees on, the understanding of them and everything. And I'm just being facetious. This is some of these verses are somewhat have opened up a lot of discussion in Christianity. But we want to look at them. And really, there's only two points to the message here this morning as you look at your outline. There's only two points, several subpoints, but there's only two real points. And as we look at this, we see that Paul's going to point out our purpose and our progress of our salvation. And so as we look at these verses, we want to kind of look at them a little out of order. And the first thing we want to see the purpose of our salvation. It's really important to understand why we're saved. You know, a lot of times we look at our salvation, we see it only from our perspective, and the only reason we're saved is to avoid hell. You know, we're saved because we're sinners and we need Christ, so we don't go to hell. So we go to heaven. And that's one perspective, but that's not necessarily the only biblical perspective. We want to look at this from really from God's point of view. And really, Paul is writing this, obviously the Holy Spirit is, and showing us the progress and the purpose of salvation from God's point of view. Why did he save us? Why did he set it up this way? So we see the purpose of our salvation. In verse 28, he tells us that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So what is his purpose? Paul then go on in verse 29 to tell us really the twofold purpose of God in saving us. He's going to list it, just two things. Why did God save us? What's his purpose in saving us? Well, first, to conform us to the image of Christ. God's purpose in saving us is to conform us to the image of Christ. All right. So God's plan in eternity past is to raise up for himself a people who will be like his son, Jesus. Like Christ. Those who trust Christ as their Savior, God completely forgives. That is why Paul declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior are completely forgiven, and there's no more condemnation. Paul then moves from that in chapter 8. He's going to move progressively through that and giving us the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit then allows us to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And then we are heirs of God, and